sermon text this morning comes from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 through 22. Actually, backing up to 19. You were redeemed, 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for the outpouring of your precious blood, the blood of Christ, who is a lamb without blemish and without spot. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we're grateful, Lord, that you provided a way for those who were separated from you to be brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this precious gift. And now, Lord, grant that we would give you glory, that we would worship you, and that we would live out what you have put in us, that we would live in faith, we would live in hope, and that we would live in love. Love toward you and love toward one another. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The sermon title this morning is, It's All About the Lamb. It's all about the Lamb. Or you could also call it the perfect plan of the perfect Lamb. The perfect plan of the perfect Lamb. And so this sermon can be filed under the heading of Gird Up the Loins of Your Mind. And that's just the way Peter writes. He has a way of writing these very long sentences. And my English teachers, grammar teachers would have given him a hard time for writing run-on sentences. But he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so I think he's okay. And not only that, these long sentences are rich and dense and packed with biblical truth, and you'll want to savor every word. And so we don't want to gloss over the words, but we want to understand the truth, the meat, and the milk that is in the word for our nourishment and our strengthening. And so this word is meant to be savored and pondered. And so the Apostle Peter wants us to savor and ponder the wonder and the beauty of the fact that Jesus is that Lamb without blemish and without spot that has poured out precious blood for our redemption. It's a wondrous and awesome thing. And so Christ was foreordained before the foundation of this world. It's an amazing thing to think about the Lamb and the sacrifice being eternal. But that's what the Bible tells us. He is the Lamb of whom there is this Lamb's Book of Life. And there would be no way for there to be any names in that Lamb's Book of Life if the Lamb was not slain before the foundation of the world. That's from Revelation 13:8. Speaks of the book of life of the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. And John Gill puts it this way. If you look at the construction of this passage, it says that he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So foreknown at the beginning, or foreknown in the morning of the creation, but now revealed in the twilight of creation. And so we have this Lamb slain in the morning and evening of the world. And so we see the brackets of history bracketed by the eternal Lamb. Amen. And so we want to give glory to the Lamb. Let us give glory to the Lamb. God gave him glory, it says, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. How can God give glory to another? Well, he can give glory to another if that another is another person within the Godhead. He's giving glory to God, really not another, but part and parcel of himself. And this brings us to the mystery and the truth of the Holy Trinity. That God is one God, yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there's no problem with God the Father giving glory to God the Son, who is the Lamb. Amen? And so let us also give glory to the Lamb. Amen? Let's give glory to the Lamb. He is an eternal Lamb. He is a revealed Lamb. He is a raised Lamb. Hallelujah. And he is a vital Lamb. Let's look at the first. He is eternal. As I said before, he spans the beginning of time to the ending of time. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the first and he is the last. He is the eternal Lamb of God. And so let's give him glory as the one who is eternal and who is the Lamb. He is also the Lamb revealed for you. Have you ever thought about that? That this Lamb of God, this Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he was revealed for you. And for you, and for you, and for you, and for all of us. And for all who would believe in his name. For all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He is revealed for you. And so as he is revealed for you, take him. Come to him. You know, the command was given to heads of households in Exodus chapter 12. Go and take a lamb from the flock on the 10th day of the first month and bring that lamb into your house. And so the lamb is part of the household, part of the family for 4 days. But then on the 14th day, you're to slaughter that lamb and take that blood from the lamb and then mark your doorway, mark the top, mark the sides with the blood of the lamb. That lamb that's revealed for you. Are you under the blood? Are you covered by the blood of Jesus? He was revealed for you so that you could be covered, and so that the angel of death would not kill in your house, so that the angel of death would pass over your house. And so it's with these kinds of ideas in mind that Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. That's from Acts 16:31. And so he is the Lamb revealed for you, for your sake. One of the things that really spoke to me from the word from John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I recognized that I had beheld him, but more objectively than subjectively. He's objectively, yes, I believe that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but what had to happen in my life was for me to realize that, well, yes, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, but he's the Lamb of God who takes away my sin. My sin. And that's what we all need to do. We need to be certain that we have trusted in that Lamb, that we have come under the blood of that Lamb. We're trusting in that blood to cover us so that the angel of death passes over us. That's what Jesus did when he came to be our Lamb and to pour out his blood for us. He is the Lamb eternal. He is the Lamb revealed for you. And he is also the Lamb who was raised. The Lamb who was raised. Yes, a lamb was slaughtered to take away our sin. And you know, the Old Testament is so clear about the need for blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And every day, there was a reminder in the tabernacle and in the temple of this need for forgiveness and this need for blood to be the payment price for forgiveness. And so every day, guess what? You need to sacrifice a lamb in the morning and a lamb at twilight. And every Passover, every family needed to get a lamb, keep it in the house as a pet, have the children get attached to it, and then they would have to slaughter it. And I think that's important for us to think about the death of Jesus Christ when you're tempted to sin. Because that's what our sin does. Our sin is grievous, and it's agreeing with the need for Jesus to die. And so we need to be more concerned about how our sin makes God feel than how it makes us feel. And so this lamb was slaughtered, but he was also raised. What does it say in our passage? You through him believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. He is the lamb who was slain, but he's also the lamb who was raised up again to new life. And so God raised him up for our justification. Amen?
Yeah.
And then, lastly, he is a lamb that is vital. He is a lamb that is vital. It says, the Lord raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. And since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love, of the brethren, love one another fervently. And so there is this truth that our faith and hope are from God, and that our love also is from God. But those things, they come from the Lamb. It says, through Him you believe in God. And as we believe in God, our faith is strengthened. And as our faith is strengthened, our hope is strengthened. And as our hope is strengthened, our love is brought forward. And so we glorify a vital Lamb. And it's through His blood and through His strength and through His life that His virtue, His strength comes into us, so that we can grow in faith, so that we can grow in hope, and so that we can grow in love. Think about the Passover lamb. It was roasted. And then what happened after it was roasted? Then it was eaten. And so the people partook of that lamb. They feasted on the Paschal lamb, the Paschal feast. And then what does Jesus do when He institutes the Lord's Supper? He takes bread and then He says, "This is My body, which is broken, which is given for you." And so the bread is to stand in for the Lamb. And Jesus is the bread of life that is food for our souls. There are many people in the world that are spiritually impoverished. They're trying to get life. They're trying to get satisfaction from everything in the world, everything created, but not the Creator and not the Redeemer. And so they have this this hole in their heart. They have this spiritual vacuum in their heart, and they try to fill it with things. They try to fill it with material. They try to fill it with cars or money or with sex or with drugs or with alcohol, and or even relationships. Family sometimes becomes an idol. Church can even become an idol. Because, listen, the church doesn't save you. And the pastor can't save you. I wasn't crucified and my blood wasn't poured out to take away your sins. But I know one who was crucified, and I know one whose blood was poured out for your salvation. And that one is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, we're going to be reminded and we're going to be refreshed with the bread and the wine, that they don't physically become the body and blood of Jesus like the Roman Catholics would teach. No, they spiritually become His body and blood. And so He's present in a special and mysterious and real way to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our hope, to strengthen our love, and to fill us with His Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord's Supper is here for. It's to reinforce the gospel. We can see in the Lord's Supper the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, His body was sacrificed for me. Yes, His blood was poured out to wash away my sin and to purify my heart and soul and body before God. And so as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, I urge you to see in it the signs and the seals of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may He seal those things to your heart and soul, that His ownership that His name is on you as the eternal Lamb of God. Amen. And so, next week we're going to be talking more about love and loving one another from a pure heart and loving fervently from a pure heart and in sincerity. But suffice it to say, as we draw life from the Lamb, we will grow in faith, grow in hope, grow in love. And you might be saying, well, Pastor, don't I need faith in order to trust in the Lamb? Yes, you do. But we also learn that faith is a gift of God. And so we pray, and I always pray for you, that God would grow your faith, enable you to trust in Him, trust in His Word. Because as I was reminded in Sunday school this morning, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so let us believe those words of God and let them grow our faith and grow our hope and grow our love for Him and for one another. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we give You thanks. We give You praise. We give You glory. We thank You for giving us the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world and takes away our sin. Yes. And thank You, Lord, that we now have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper. And I pray Your blessing on that. Bless us as we consider the great price that was paid for our salvation. And then also, we pray that You would feed us and strengthen us in these things. Strengthen us in the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I ask that you